He said, tomorrow you ring up my boss and we will pay you. It was one of those funeral cars where they put the coffin in. So anyway, the next day I rang up his boss. I went and got a quote first. I think it was about $800, the damage. And I got a quote. And I rang up his boss and I said, look, this is what happened. I said, then your worker told me to ring you and he's admitted fault. He said, oh, no, no. He said, yeah, what he told me was that you ran into him, so you have to pay us. I said, oh, that's nice. I said, he ran into me. He reversed into me, and I have to pay you. He said, no, because you ran into him. So what he didn't know is that when this happened, I suspected that this might happen. So there happened to be a bloke walking on the footpath, and I said, excuse me. I said, any chance you could be a witness for me in case this bloke refused to pay? He said, I'll gladly give you my details. He said, if he gives you any trouble, I'll come to court with you. No problems. So I said to this bloke, look, I said, I'm happy to go to court. I've got a witness. And he's prepared to come to court with me to witness that your driver hit me. And he said, oh, no, no, doesn't need to get to that. He said, doesn't need to go to court. He said, no, no, we don't want to do that. He said, how much was the damage? I said, oh, I think it was about $800. I said, I've got the quote here. He said, will you send me the quote and I'll send you the money? How's that? I said, yeah, that's fine. So that was all good. But at that moment, I started to get angry, very angry. And perhaps thoughts, this has been quite a few years ago, thoughts of revenge starts coming to your mind, you know. And I was very bitter at that time. I said, well, this bloke is lying and shouldn't, you know, be doing that. And so for quite a long time, every time I remembered or I'll be talking to someone about it, I will be, I'll get angry again. And there was such an unforgiveness. So I kept thinking all the time, you know, I kept thinking, this bloke will get his one day, because what comes around goes around. And but one day in my anger, as I think I was talking to someone about it, the Holy Spirit showed me unforgiveness in my heart. And not only unforgiveness about this person, but unforgiveness about others that has hurted me in the past. And you know, the Lord is very clear about unforgiveness. I mean, there's no doubt. And we're going to read now in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. If you have your Bibles, if you can open to Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I was reading another book the other day, and it said this. It said, our attitude towards others is an indication of our attitude towards Christ. I don't know how you feel about that. But our attitude towards others is an indication of our attitude towards God, towards Christ. See, the grace of forgiveness is to care more about a person than about what he has done. And it is illustrated, of course, in the story of the prodigal son. You know, all know the story, in which the father was able to move beyond the issue to what his son done. He cared more about the son. He cared more about the son than about what he had done. God forgives, he loves us, and in his love, he cares more about us than about what we have done, doesn't he? Forgiveness means to release another, to give up our power play, if you like, by keeping something we can hold over another. Forgiveness is to grant him or her that freedom. For such forgiveness can be difficult, and it can be costly as well. It can be difficult. It's not easy sometimes, forgiveness. For it means that the offended one, yes, you heard right, the offended one resolves the hurt by love and release the offender without making him pay or making him suffer. See, if someone hurts us sometimes, the first thing that comes to mind is revenge, payback, maybe gossip, anything, because we're hurting. But if we are hurting and you hurt the other person back, and then you say, I'll forgive him. Well, he hit my car, I'll go and find him and hit his car. We're equal. But we haven't really forgiven, have we? Because you settled the score by retaliation. And if we settle the score by retaliation first, and then ask for, then we forgive him, that's not really forgiveness at all. Then we can say, oh, we call it quits now. He hit my car, I hit his. We're even. But that's not true forgiveness, is it? Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 to 35. It's Matthew chapter 18. I'm sure you all know this story. So that's Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 to verse 35. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. This is an incredible story, isn't it? It's an incredible story about this man who owed the king a lot of money, 10,000 talents, which, according to the commentary in today's money, that's over $10 million. But since that slave did not have the means to repay, the king commanded him to be sold with all he had, all his possessions, including his wife and his children. Of course, that slave falling down before the king saying, have patience with me and I will repay you everything. Can you picture the slave who is about to lose everything, including his wife and children? More than his possession and everything else, his wife and children. And the king of that slave felt compassion. Isn't that beautiful? The king of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Imagine the bank doing that. You owe him $200,000-$300,000 on the house and you miss out on a payment. You know, you lost your job or got sick or something. You can't make the payment. And all of a sudden, you missed one payment, you missed two payments, or three payments, the bank manager will bring you up, can you please come and see us? And say, well, we're going to send the sheriff to lock your house, and everything you own is going to be sold. Every possession you've got, we're going to take it over. And you'll beg and plead, you got sick, or I just lost my job, I will repay you back. And the bank manager comes, look, we'll have compassion on you. So I tell you what, you owe me, what, $200,000-$300,000? I'm going to forgive you all that debt. In fact, here is your title for the house. It's yours. Go. What would you do? You'll go out celebrating, wouldn't you? Celebrate. But what did this bloke done? He should have been celebrating. $10 million. He was forgiven. So therefore, in his compassion, the king released him from it forever. Or did he? Did he? We'll see in a minute. It says immediately in the next verse, in verses 28 and 30, this slave owed his fellow slave 100 denarii. Now, again, according to the concordance, one denarii was a day's wages. So about 18 cents. He owed him, I think it's $18, according to the concordance. 100 denarii, $18. So can you imagine the nerve of this bloke? He's just been forgiven all that money. You've just been forgiven $10 million, and instead of going out and celebrating, you go and find some poor Paul or poor Joe who owes you $18. The bank manager forgave you all that money you owe, and then go and pick on someone who owes you $18 or $20. Now, this might not sound like something you and I would do, does it? Doesn't sound like it. But I bet we've done it before, as we will read on in a moment. You see, if our sins have been forgiven by Jesus, we've had an incredible debt forgiven. You agree to that? Incredible debt, a debt that we could never pay. We couldn't pay it. So any bitterness, any unforgiveness in our heart after the total forgiveness we've received makes us as bad and as the unmerciful judge, as the unmerciful slave. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? But that's how it is. His unforgiveness was not only stupid, it also blew the whole deal with the king, because the king has forgiven him everything. Or we thought he forgiven him everything. His unforgiveness was not only stupid, it also blew the whole deal with the king. So the king said, you wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? We know our Lord had mercy on us. Elder Gary shared before about our Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for us. He had mercy on us. And it says his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should pay all that was owed him. Now, I believe here is the warning for us. Because then Jesus says, so shall my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Very, very strong words and very clear. Jesus was very clear about this. Jesus certainly couldn't have made himself any clearer about how upset our Father in heaven gets when, after forgiving us for eternal debt of sin, we hold unforgiveness against someone else for whom Christ died. Let's just have a look at Romans chapter 12, verse 18. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. The Christian's aim, our aim, should be to live peacefully. Sometimes peace is not within our control. And this is why Paul says, if it is possible. The other person may have passed away. It's not possible. We just have to repent and ask God to forgive us. But if it is possible, Be at peace with all men so far as it depends on you. This is, to me, it's a warning that if we have anything in our hearts against anyone, we should go to that person quickly and get the whole thing cleared up. Not tomorrow, but very quickly. It might be our parents. You know, I know people that hold grudges against their parents. I knew a bloke who wouldn't become a Christian because he was holding grudges against his father for a long time. I believe he did forgive him before he died. He died with an accident. And I believe that he, speaking to his wife afterwards, that he did forgive his father just before he died. So it might be a parent. It might be an employer, your boss, someone who employs you. You know, we keep maybe gossiping against them because we hold something against them. It could be a teacher. Many people still can't forgive their teacher. Now you get 50-year-old men talking about how cruel their teacher was, and they can't forgive their teacher. Or even a husband or wife. Whatever happened between husband and wife in the past, they find it hard to forgive each other. Or even children. I knew a young man who was kicked out of the house, I've told you before, just because he became a Christian. His father held it against him, not only held it against him, just because he became a Christian, and he kicked him out of the house. He had to go and rent a house in Werribee. In this parable, we can see that however much anyone has hurt us, it doesn't even compare to the free gift of God's pardon for our sins. And we must not put that forgiveness in danger. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 32. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Okay. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. This is a beautiful description of how we are to relate to one another, isn't it? It's a beautiful description. And here we are told to forgive one another, being kind to one another, and treating one another kindly. We have assurance, you know, from God that our sins are forgiven. Have you accepted that? That our sins have been forgiven? If you accepted Christ into your life, your sins have been forgiven. And we have good news. The good news is that Jesus forgives. Jesus forgives. Jesus prayed for the forgiveness of those who had wronged him. As Elder Gary said this morning, what they've done to Jesus. Yet he forgave them. None of us has been wronged as Jesus was wronged. If God is willing to forgive us, why should we not forgive others? And we can forgive. We can forgive. Will you forgive this morning if there's anyone that you know, someone that wronged you? It doesn't have to be that you wronged the other person. It could have been the other person that wronged you and hurted you. In conclusion, if you find it hard to forgive, then come to the cross. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, it says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And if you still find it hard to forgive, ask the Lord to give you the grace to be able to forgive. Since he forgave, then we must forgive also. We can forgive because we have been forgiven. So I just want us to examine our hearts. And if God shows us unforgiveness, let us forgive. Forgive them in our hearts first. And then if it is possible, as the Bible says, if it is possible, let's go to that person or persons and make peace. Just like to show us a small clip here. Thank you, Justin.
Over the past few years, I've been on this journey of writing songs inspired by the real life stories that people sent to me. This one story in particular has had a profound impact on me. It hit me kind of hard. It's about a woman who did the impossible, and it made me ask myself if I could do the same. Renee had four kids. Two of her daughters were twins. Megan was coming home from the beach one night with her best friend when their car was struck by a drunk driver named Eric, a 24-year-old kid. Megan lost her life. Eric killed both girls that were in the car. Renee lost her daughter in an instant. Next thing she knows, she finds herself in a courtroom watching this young man, this 24-year-old man, get sentenced to 22 years in prison. Renee wrote to me and said, "I now have a mission that I never would have chosen." What she meant by that is that in the years that follow, she began to travel around to schools and churches and different functions, and she would speak about the dangers of drunk driving. But as the years progressed, she felt like something was missing from her presentations. And that's when God put it on her heart that she had not forgiven this man who took the life of her daughter. And so she reached out and did the impossible. She reached out to Eric in prison and said, "I forgive you." The ripple effects of that act of forgiveness are still being felt today. That young man's life was absolutely changed because this woman forgave him. He said, "I can't even forgive myself," and she forgave me. Eric said he found his eternal salvation as a result of this act. One by one, all of Renee's family members followed her lead, and they reached out and expressed forgiveness to Eric. So much so that now they describe Eric as part of their family, like a son to Renee. The story doesn't stop there, though. Renee went to the courts along with her family, and she was able to have Eric's sentence cut in half from 22 years to 11 years. This blew me away. The reason she did it is so that Eric could have a second chance at life and so that he could join her in their presentations. She told me that now she shares not only about the dangers of drunk driving, but also about the power of forgiveness.
Now, the story behind this song is from someone right here in our area. We're going to let her tell the story. She won't know you're here. Are you comfortable with hiding?
I'm comfortable with hiding, yeah. I'm nervous right
me
now.
Me too, my balls are sweaty.
She has no idea I'm here.
Yeah,
no.
She doesn't even,
and this is the thing, she has no idea that there's been a song written inspired by her story. I'm in another room waiting to go in there and surprise Renee. I can see her on a video screen. She has no idea I'm in the room right next.
And you submitted the story, I know, to Matthew West.
It's a story that needs to be told, right? Because not for me. It's not about me. It's about God, and it's about forgiveness. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to chance this. And I send it in, and I just prayed, you know, God, if this is supposed to happen, then I just, you know, hope that it will.
You know, we know Matthew, and he wrote a song about your story.
No way.
Matthew has sent us the song because he wanted you to be one of the first people to hear it. It's called Forgiveness.
It's called Forgiveness.
You ever seen him in concert or
no,
did you?
No, and I wanted to see him. I tried to go see him when he was in West Palm because I thought that I would have a presentation down there. And
right.
I thought,
during
and
the
then
story
of course,
of your life,
you know,
tour?
Yeah, yes. No, actually, I don't know if it was that he tried, you know, he's like,
right.
They sent out a thing, if you're going to be in any of these cities, and they were all too far away. And then when he was,
right.
at the thing in Orlando, I thought, well, I'm going to, you know, go see him, you know, then. Right. And I had to go present.
So you never could make the connection with him personally?
Never could.
Never seen him?
No.
Turn around.
Where are you?
You want to hear the song as well? So got a few minutes. Can you put the song on? It's a beautiful song by Matthew West.
It's the hardest thing to give away, and the last thing on your mind today. It always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. Always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
That would have been for that woman to forgive. I think the only reason she forgave is by the grace of God. There's no other way. There's no other way to forgive someone like that. It's just such a sad story, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord God, that you are a God who forgives, Father. Lord, forgive us, Father, when we hold things against other people, Lord, when we know that you have forgiven us totally. Lord, it's only small, Lord God, for us, something small, to be able to go to people and say, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry that I've sinned against you. Compared to what you've done for us, Lord God, you sent Jesus to shed his blood for us so we can be forgiven. Lord, it should be so easy for us to go to those perhaps who even hurted us or we've hurted them. And Lord God, ask for forgiveness. Father, give us the grace, Lord. If we find it difficult, Lord God, give us the grace to be able to do that. For we don't want to jeopardize our salvation because of it, Lord God. Lord, you made it very clear to us, Lord, that we need to ask for forgiveness. We need to forgive people as you have forgiven us. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you need prayer this morning, if you feel maybe there's something in your heart you want to release about forgiveness, we'd be more than happy to pray for you.